There are times people request sermons on certain themes. So far I've heard today Elmo, Mario, Princess, and Spooky. But the church also in its wisdom has said this is a day for us to tell one particular story. It's found in some version in all the Gospels. So this is Matthew's story of Palm Sunday, found in Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses. Listen once more to this very familiar story of Christ's entry into Jerusalem. When Jesus and the disciples had come near to Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, who said, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the tree and spread them also on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of Jesus and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, and they asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds would say back, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, draw near to us once more. Through this story and by your Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you truly are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In honor of baseball's opening day, I have an easy trivia question for you. 1960 World Series between the Pirates and the Yankees, final game, bottom of the ninth, score tied 9-9. Name the leadoff batter for the Pirates whose home run won the game. Bill Mazeroski. At some point, probably everyone here has seen footage of that historic at-bat. The initial high fastball that came in from Ralph Terry, and then the second pitch that Mazeroski clobbered over the wall. How when he was rounding second base, he recognized that he had just won the series for the underdog Pirates. And as he came around third base, the crowds began pouring onto the field, slapping him on the back that he had to literally fight his way to tag home plate and win the game. All over Pittsburgh, celebrations broke out at that moment. People literally poured out into the streets. They were exuberant about beating the dreaded Yankees, and about becoming crowds of shouting, cheering, rejoicing hometown fans. Forming crowds is not just an American activity. People all over the world have been known to take to the streets in crowds. Often it's done to celebrate a victory, perhaps a victory from a beloved local team. Sometimes it's done to commemorate national holidays. Other times it's a reaction. People pouring out as a protest, as a demonstration, like the civil rights marches of the past, or even some of the more recent ones in Washington, D.C. So ask yourself, have you ever joined in a crowd to celebrate or to march? And what prompted you to do that? Was it the sheer exuberance of the moment that compelled you to go out into the streets, or was it something more intentional and planned. Joining a crowd seems like it would be a universal tendency, but we always need to ask ourselves, is this a good thing? Groucho Marx famously said he did not care to belong to any club that would have him as a member. And so on some level, do we cynically look at crowds in the same way? Is it something we disdain joining since they were so indiscriminate as to include us in their membership? It's one thing to be part of a celebration. It's one thing to be a person marching for a change and for a cause. It's another thing just to be a sheep in a blind herd, a lemming moving towards a cliff, a fool engaged enough by rhetoric and emotion, but only heading towards disaster. So more specific to today, would you have joined the Palm Sunday procession if you'd been there in Jerusalem? What would it have taken for you to leave your place of comfort, to step out from the shadows and join those crowds, waving branches, shouting Hosanna to the Son of David? Bruce Birch is a Christian ethicist, and he's written in one of his books reminding us that all of human society is a fellowship that not only contains those now living and their children, but it also contains everyone that's gone before us. The ideals, the morals, the values of the past still live on today whenever we come together. Now, by living in Pittsburgh right now, on some degree and to some level, all of us share in Maz's walk-off home run 57 years ago. Being in America today, we all share and are shaped by the stories, pilgrims, immigrants who found their way to this country, the legacy and hard work of the pioneers, the stain of slavery, the thrill of the moon landing, the memories from two world wars and other engagements. All of these stories, all of these memories and lessons are passed on, sometimes in school classrooms, sometimes on national holidays. But it's also true that the internalization of those stories and those memories is a selective process. You and I don't remember everything. We don't cling equally to every story. We don't honor equally every person's experience as passionately as we do our own. And I share that because that's a fact associated with being in any type of crowd. We have to ask ourselves, what are our stories in this crowd? What vision of the world are we celebrating and collectively sharing with the world and passing on to our children? If we're ever swept up in a crowd, that's why we have to stop and ask ourselves, is this really and truly a good thing? On Palm Sunday long ago, Matthew says, a very large crowd went both behind him and before him, shouting, waving branches, laying their cloaks on the road as a type of carpet to honor him. And the title Son of David was also shared and shouted, meaning that they saw in this Jesus a quality of royalty, as if he would enter the city and literally sit upon the throne of King David. Now, this is Matthew's gospel. Remember how Matthew's gospel started? Matthew's gospel and its Christmas story has wise men, magi, coming from afar, kneeling down in homage to this child and bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so from that beginning, now 30-some years later, another crowd is gathering and calling Christ names like a king. Praise, glory, laud, honor, hoping that through him change will now happen in the land. Through him the Roman oppressors will finally be chased out. Through him things will get better. Palm Sunday was a very intentional event. We see that in the way Jesus, when he gave instructions to his disciples, told them precisely what they were to do. And even more so, he gave them the words to share in case anyone objected. If they argued, "Why are you taking the donkey?" tell them, "The Lord needs it." And the very act of entering Jerusalem in a procession involved bringing together these cheering disciples, the branches, laying out the garments in an intentional, in a very real way, provocative act. Now, the Roman authorities were always on edge when these large Jewish festivals happened because the city of Jerusalem swelled to thousands more than its usual capacity. And that Palm Sunday was no subtle event. It was meant to shake things up. Jesus came to change the rules of how the game of life was played. That's something we too often forget. Going back to baseball for a little bit, in 1857, there were about 14 teams in the Northeast who were actively learning and playing this new national pastime. But the games they played in New York and Boston were radically different from one another. It's been said that the game in Massachusetts were often very long affairs, that you won when you first scored 100 runs. Every inning only had one out to it, but a batter could be called out if he was hit with a thrown ball when he was running between the bases. Now, the New Yorkers thought that was horrific. Their more genteel games were played until someone scored 21 runs, and you never intentionally threw the ball at the base runner. So in 1857, they met and they argued over these rules. The Boston teams insisted that somehow it was manlier for there to be some measure of physical pain associated with an out. But luckily, the New Yorkers won the day, declaring, quote, "Only savages run around the field pegging balls at one another." Jesus came to change the rules, to make us less savage, to make us less violent, to make us more people of God and less people of the world. And I don't know if that happened just from Palm Sunday. I don't know if someone experienced being part of the crowd that day in Jerusalem, if that in and of itself would have been enough. Just because you've seen footage of Bill Mazeroski jogging around the bases, that doesn't make you a real Pirates fan. And joining the crowd on Palm Sunday, waving branches for a few minutes, doesn't make you a follower of Christ. It's part of the story we tell. It's part of the legacy that we pass on to our children. It's part of how we prepare for what's coming this week as Easter approaches. But God wants more from you and me than just being part of a crowd. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, the scripture in Matthew says the whole city was in turmoil. Now that's a strong Greek word. It's a word they used to use typically for earthquakes and violent storms at sea. The city was shaken up by Jesus. Can the same be said of us today? Churches on every corner in this city are all pretty much retelling the Palm Sunday story even now. Do we see any signs of turmoil? Maybe we don't want real change. Maybe we come to church to be comfortable, to be social, to be part of a crowd that likes pleasant-minded souls gathered for familiar rituals and no turmoil. But I'm sorry, that's the wrong impulse and the wrong crowd to be part of. Amid the turmoil of that day, everyone kept asking one question: who is this man? And the reply came back, this is the prophet Jesus from Galilee, the prophet, the voice crying in the wilderness, the outsider entering into the holy city, the one who immediately after that procession went to the temple and disrupted the business class by overturning the tables. The one who disrupted the religious class by breaking rules about eating on the Sabbath, by healing the poor, by eating with tax collectors, by letting his body be touched by outcast women. It was the one who disrupted the military class by avoiding violence, that last bastion of savages even today. The one who disrupted the government class by claiming a kingship that needed no throne. Christianity is not a club, nor is it simply being part of a crowd. It involves intentionality. It involves intentionally looking at Jesus, this Jesus who is in our midst, humble, quiet, determined, the one who speaks truth to power, the one who teaches, who breaks bread, who weeps, who prays. The same Jesus who in a few days will be shuttled through the sham of a criminal justice system and nailed to a cross. The one who would be abandoned, left alone, even as he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The whole tragic story pulls us in. It holds our attention. And at the very same time it does that, others are pulled in as well. Strangers, family, friends alike. And in that pulling, we become a crowd. Only because we recognize we are all looking at the same thing. We are looking at the same person, this prophet, this Prince of Peace named Jesus. Something in this Jesus is different. Something in him, something because of him, changes the rules. Palm Sunday's crowd didn't make Jesus. Jesus makes us a Palm Sunday crowd. Jesus makes us a gathering brought together whose common identity doesn't come from anything within us, doesn't come from our race and gender, doesn't come from our sexual identity, our nationality, our wealth. It doesn't come from our age or our ability or our language. Our identity in a crowd formed by God comes from God, who in Christ Jesus, in whom in life and in death we belong, changes everything. In Christ Jesus, whom alone we serve together, changes everything. Amen. Let us pray. In life and in death, we belong to God, whom alone we worship and alone we serve. We hold fast to this good news because of the living witness of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. This Jesus changes everything, disrupting our status quo wherever it is unjust and complacent. Disrupting our lives whenever we become fearful or apathetic. Disrupting this church and all the world, that something new may be resurrected out of our tombs today. Lord God, make us into a Palm Sunday people. Listen as we bring before you our prayers of intercession, as we too still say, "Hosanna, save us, Lord." We pray for all battling with addiction, with eating and cutting disorders, with destructive bondage to drugs and opioids. Hosanna, save us, Lord. From all forms of slavery, whether to weapons of war or treating others and other nations and other faiths as somehow lesser in your creation. Hosanna, save us, Lord. From all fearfulness of spirit that would confine us behind locked doors and chained hearts, praying especially as nearby to each of us children weep, women are abused, Men and families seek living wage jobs. The elderly lack health care and compassion. Hosanna, save us, Lord. From cultures and thought systems that oppress, that persecute based on narrow definitions of sex and gender identity, Hosanna, save us, Lord. From seeing the world as a resource simply to be plundered instead of a global garden to be nurtured, cultivated, and shared. Hosanna, save us, Lord. We pray for all in need, for small churches trying their best in their neighborhoods, for communities, farm towns trying to care for their own, for each individual here and on our hearts known to us, enduring illness, loss, or grief. For all your children, Hosanna, save us, Lord. Palm Sunday did not create the Christ. The Christ created us. So hear us as we respond by the words Christ taught us to pray as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.